I get one of these? It's not on. Is it on? It's ringing. I hear it, so it's on. It's got a little ring to it. You get these high-dollar shirts, they caught the more expensive they are, the less they got. Like, no pockets, man, and that bugs me to no end. I always got to stick my glasses down in my suit coat pocket, and then it's like mining for gold here, man. You got to dig down in there to get them out. But Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. Mark chapter 11, sorry about that. If anybody that's ever read my writing or tried to, you can understand why I struggle here sometimes. That's why every time I'm sitting there with Sherry, I say, you got a pen on you? And what I'm doing is I'm making words easier to read that I've already written down that I'm struggling to read myself. And then nobody else can read it, and they wonder how I can read it, but I can read most of my stuff. But anyway, Mark chapter 11, verse 20. That's why I give it to Eileen, so we'll know. Verse 25, the Bible says, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Prayer and love, the title tonight. I don't know that this message will be very long. Like I always say, I probably shouldn't have said that, but I may be a long one, but I think it'll be a thing that's important for us to see. And we're talking about praying and you know, getting, and what I spoke to you about this morning, you know, the higher life, the higher Christian life, that it's all about Him. It's that Christ is everything. The blessor is greater than the blessing, and the greatest blessing that we can have is Christ in us. And so when we think about our prayer life and how so different it is probably from the prayers that we read, Brother Harold had sent a message thing out. He sends out to a lot of, you know, put it on Christ Life Ministry, I think. He sent a thing out and was showing the revival prayers, the guys that prayed in the Old Testament. You know, man, those were some prayers, you know, that they had. And we talk about true prayer. You know, true prayer, of course, we know has to come from the heart. And a lot of times just our lips are moving, but our heart's not there. And our prayer life can be hindered by a lot of different things. And really, I don't know that because of the Christ life business, you know, it's got to be His life. So we really can't pray like we should. It's got to be Him praying through us and being in the will of God. And so true prayer depends on our relationship with God. It always depends on that relationship with God. And it involves a lot of things. It's not as complicated as it sounds on the one hand, because if we have a surrendered life and we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, then that eliminates a whole lot of instructions that we got to have, even though we do have them in the Bible. But then it's going to be the Holy Spirit, praying in the Spirit. It's a different thing. And so true prayer involves being number one in the will of God. You know, you can't pray out of the will of God. You've already hindered the Spirit. And so if we're praying out of the will of God, a lot of other things are going to be affected by that. And then we have to be abiding in the love of God. True prayer involves abiding in the love of God. Well, there again, a surrendered life, the love of Christ living in us. It's Christ living His life in us. And then true prayer also involves forgiveness along with faith. There's things there. So being in the will of God, abiding in the love of God, forgiveness along with faith. All those things have to go together. Sometimes we focus on the faith aspect more than a lot of other things that we might have to. And the love of God and the love of our neighbor, according to the verses that we just read, seem to be inseparable things. In verse 25, and he said, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. So I would say that our prayer, when we look at it that way, loving God and loving our neighbor, we can't separate those two things either. You know, prayer from a heart that is not right with God or man is not going to be a successful prayer. I guess we could use that word successful in that. You know, if you're not right with God, you're not going to be right with your neighbor. And if you're not right with your neighbor, you're not going to be right with God. I'm not talking about your salvation. I'm talking about a hindrance. Because we look, you know, I look at that and we say, well, our Father won't forgive us. We're not talking about salvation there. We're talking about our relationship with God. You know, it's we're quenching something there if we have that in our heart. In Matthew 5, 23 and 24, the Bible says, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." Boy, you know, it's like, you know, and I've said this before, preached on this topic, the forgiveness side of things, not maybe the love side, but the forgiveness side of things, that, you know, man, the greatest tenet, probably one of the greatest tenets of the Christian faith is forgiveness. I mean, that's what we want from God, right? So how hypocritical and contrary to the Spirit of God is to hold unforgiveness toward man, you know, and so we can't be right with God, because then we think about God's forgiveness towards us, which I'll talk about that in just a minute. In Matthew 6:12, when Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray, he said this on the outline. He said, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You know, he didn't say like when or perhaps or maybe. He said, you know, as we forgive our debtors. So think about that, you know, when we look at that in this same light. And then in verse 15 there in that same chapter, after he told them how to pray, he went on to say, "But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Man, so see, he connected this. He connected, which is really, what's the drive? What's the driver for forgiveness? It's got to be love. It's love. It's just love. Love is the force here that has to do with forgiveness. See, when the Bible tells us this, that love covers a multitude of sins. What does that mean? Because we know it's not covered like the blood of Jesus covers our sins. It means it overlooks it. Well, why when we overlook it? Why? Because of love. That's how you overlook it. We overlook a lot for love. When love is real, right? We overlook it. That's what it said. Love covers a multitude of sins, overlooks it. And so that's what he's talking about there. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 35, at the close of Jesus' parable, when he talked about that was where the unmerciful servant, you remember the guy when he begged the master that because he didn't have enough to pay to give him more time, not throw him in prison. And the master said, "Okay, listen, I'm going to forgive you all so much debt." And then the guy went out and he found people that owed him money and he wouldn't show them any mercy and he had them thrown. And then that master came back and Jesus gave the parable about that. Well, at the end of that, of course, that man was delivered to the tormentors, and Jesus said, "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother his trespasses." From your hearts. From your hearts. See, there's a difference. See, like I said this morning, there's a lot of things that I could say when we were talking about the, you know, that higher life, the Christ life, the blessed life. What is the greatest blessing that we can have is Christ, is Jesus Christ. It's not what he gives us, but him. It's him, right? And a lot of people would agree with that, but they don't know it experientially. They would say, "Yeah, that's right. I probably did that. Yeah, that's right. You know, Jesus is it. He's the one. He, all that." It's the same thing with forgiveness. We all know we're supposed to forgive, right? And because we know that we're supposed to forgive, we say, "Well, yeah, I forgave him." But that old heart, that old conscience, there's something you're holding. You're holding something there. You remember when you was a kid? I remember being a little kid. And, you know, somebody done you wrong. Some little kid snatched something from you or something. And you say, and your parents would say, "Now you go over and tell Johnny you're sorry." "I'm sorry." You remember, you ever heard a kid do that? Or did you ever do that?
Yeah.
You know, you went and said, "I'm sorry," because your parents going to whip you back in them days. If you didn't. "Well, I'm sorry," and you're all up, you got their lips off again. And you know, some people, that's how they forgive, adults. They say it, "Oh, yeah, I've forgiven." But they got a grudge, man, big enough, it looked like Atlas holding the world on her shoulder. You know, it's not from the heart. It's just from the lips. And it just kills you. You know, we think unforgiveness and holding that is hurting them, but it's hurting us. And if we don't forgive from the heart, this is what he said. So it's a different thing. And when our heart out of love forgives, man, it's just such an enlightening, I mean, in a spiritual sense, weight, you know, off of us. Jesus was, when he, in Mark, what I read to you in Mark chapter 25, when Jesus made that statement there, he was standing by the barren fig tree, and he had talked to pictured Israel and all that, I know all that, but I'm not talking about it, but he was talking about that, and he began to teach on the power of the prayer of faith. When he went on and he said, and when you stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. And there's probably something, you know, Jesus as God, there's nothing that he needed to learn. There's nothing that he didn't already know because he was God. But when he came and he lived as a man, he walked as a man to show us how to live as a man, a Christian, a Christian person. He showed us how it's to be done and that it can be done. He didn't use his deity for a thing. Everything he did, the God the Father did it through him because he couldn't do it. He wouldn't do it because he wanted to show us how to do it. You know, and what did he do? He always prayed. He put his faith in God the Father. You say, well, he did miracles. No, God the Father did them because he said, of my own self, I can do nothing. I've talked about that before. And so he learned that. But I think that Jesus, as he walked, he observed man. He saw man. And what do you think? Why do you think he said that in verse 25? Because he had probably observed and he had learned as he lived as a man that disobedience to the law of love was the great sin of God's people. I believe he saw that among God's people, that there was unforgiveness, there was unlove, there was grudges, there was backstabbing, backbiting, revenge, all those things that we know that come from that thing. And then he also knew, he's teaching them on prayer, and he knew that this was a great cause of ineffective prayer, and so he wanted to teach them things. So I got three lessons from this that we read. I'm going to, you know, talk about tonight, help you along the way. Not too long, I don't think it'll be, but we'll see. Three lessons from Jesus' words. I don't have it alliterated. I just put it down, spend more time sometime trying to get an outline alliterated than just going ahead and preach what I got, right? Number one, a forgiving disposition. A forgiving disposition. You know, we should be able to say, when Jesus gave us the example of how to pray, and we talk about forgiving our, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, or I've read it, you know, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We should be able to say as we pray, forgive me as I have forgiven others. But there may be people that would be afraid to pray that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, forgive me as I have forgiven others. And you might get about halfway through that statement right there and change it to as I should forgive others, right? How do we want God to forgive us? I mean, man, we want unconditional forgiveness from God based on mercy, grace, not that we deserve it. I mean, really, when you think about it, deserving. Are we going to forgive somebody? Like, well, I'll forgive them when they show me they deserve it. Is that how God does it? Is that really how God does it? Well, you know, you show me you deserve to be forgiven, and I'll forgive you. Is that how you want God to forgive you? Well, if God, through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit's dwelling in you, shouldn't you forgive that same way that you want God to forgive you? Huh? It can't be for what we deserve. You know, that's our model. What is our model of forgiveness? God. Christ, however you want to, you know, listen, reluctant forgiveness, like the little kid, which is, he's asking, I'm using it as a illustration of forgiveness. You know, I'm sorry, but it's And you know, when somebody says it to you like that, you know, you're not really feeling like, for, you know, accepting that apology, are you? It's kind of a reluctant thing, but people forgive the same way. Well, I know the Bible says that I should forgive because I'm a Christian, so I'm going to go ahead and say it. But it's not, you know, it doesn't mean it's from the heart. Or half-hearted forgiveness, somewhat forgiveness. I mean, do you want God to, like, partially forgive you? Somewhat, but he's kind of eyeballing you different, watching, see, to see if you're going to, you know, if God dealt with us while keeping our sins in mind, I don't know that any of our prayers would get answered. I don't know that that would work out too well. See, so, and that's not how he forgive. You know, he doesn't forgive that way. You know, we think about this, God's forgiving love. God forgives for the same reason I said the drive behind forgiveness is love. That's how God forgives. It's love. You know, it is love. I mean, everything about God. God is love, and he's a lot of other things, but he is love, and he sent his son to die on the cross so that we could have forgiveness, but he sent his son to die on the cross because he did love us, and then he loves the son, and he forgives us based on that, but he also loves us. He loves us. And so, you know, we have to think about that. You know, when God's forgiving love has taken possession of our hearts, then we live in love. That's the thing about it. I mean, like I was talking about the higher Christian life this morning, and I would read about guys that just had this experience with God. I remember this one guy. It's one of the writers, authors that I know of. Like, I don't think it was Morgan. It was somebody else, but some of the guys I read. But he was talking about where God had just met him. He had went out for a ride on his horse, and this overwhelming presence of God came upon him. And he said, man, I just was going down the street. He said, I loved everybody. I remember Damien giving a testimony about that at the prayer advance when he went for a 2 hour of prayer, two sweet hour of prayer. Instead of a 1 hour of prayer, he went to a 2 hour of prayer. And he said, man, I was just walking up the road, and there was a guy over there jackhammering on a thing, didn't know him from the man in the moon. And he said, I just loved the guy. I mean, not in a immoral way. Just loved him as a person, you know. And this guy I was reading, he said, I was going down the sidewalk, and there was a little worm on the sidewalk, and he said, I stepped over it. I loved the worm. I mean, that's just the love of God that comes out of your heart. Man, that love there has to forgive. That love there cannot help but forgive. It just can't. There's nothing. It would be nothing. And what would quench that love quicker than anything you can think of? Unforgiveness, which is sin, but unforgiveness would just quench it. It would be gone. And so what happens is, see, when we're full of God, God's forgiving nature becomes our forgiving nature. It's really God. See, we can't even brag about how forgiving we are. Boy, I'm such a forgiven, humble person that we can't even brag about it because it's him. It's his life. See, it's his life in our life. And that becomes our nature. And then when the power living in us, which is Christ himself, we forgive just as the way he forgave. It wasn't merited, right? It wasn't, like I said, when we forgive somebody, everybody wants to forgive somebody as long as they don't do anything that needs forgiving. In a sense, they wouldn't say it that way. It's like, everybody talks, yeah, forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. And all of a sudden, somebody offends you somehow. Somebody hurts you somehow. Now you got to forgive them. And now all of a sudden, the shoe's on your foot, and now you can't do it. Well, you can't do it. You can't. That's right. That's why you surrender to Christ. And boy, it makes the Christian life a lot easier. And guess what? You'll love like God, and you'll forgive like God if you just surrender your life. You can't do it. It's that simple. Because when you think about it, what is our nature? What is our nature? You know, our old nature. You know, you're either operating under the old nature, walking in the flesh, or you're walking in the spirit. Talked about that this morning, Sunday school, I think. And what is our old nature? Listen, why don't we naturally forgive? Well, pride. It's pride. That's it. You got your feelings hurt, and somebody's got to pay. Huh? Somebody's got to pay. Don't that make you feel so much better when you just get even. No, you don't want to get even. You want to get like one up, you know, like it's not even Stephen. You want to get up. And so our pride gets hurt. And that's really what it is, right? And we've got rights. And we've got to exercise our rights. I have a right to do them wrong because they done me wrong, right? Isn't that the old nature? Isn't that just exactly the old nature? Somebody punches you, you punch them back. But you punch them harder than they punched you because they deserve it, right? Or you hit them with a bat or something, right? Hit them with a rock in the cheek. Huh? I mean, this is the old nature. And we have these rights that we feel like we have to exercise and that they need to be punished. I've got to straighten them out because you just don't feel right if you don't get them straight, right? That's that old nature that we have. And so we struggle so much with our pride. And listen, there's other things. There's other little subtle expressions of unlove, which, and I think unlove and unforgiveness tie in together. I'm talking about forgiveness, but I'm talking about love. And we've got to love our brother. How about that quick temper? How about that little sharp word? Isn't that an expression? How about a bad thought? Ooh, I know none of y'all have this problem. I know none of y'all ever have a bad thought about somebody. Boy, I'd like to just, ooh. Huh? Didn't you ever feel like that? Road rage, Stanley, when you was driving on the road? You had a lot of bad thoughts. Huh? Stanley come in every Wednesday night, have to confess about road rage. It was somebody out there driving. He ready to bop him in the head. Huh? That's it. We have bad thoughts, right? Colossians 3:13, this is a great verse. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Forbearing. You know what? I looked it up. I mean, I could use it in a sentence, and I know what it means roughly, but if you look it up, sometime you can get a more concise definition than what we might get. It means to patiently tolerate someone else's faults. To patiently tolerate someone else's faults. Forbearing one another. Listen, we all got our weirdnesses. We all got our little idiosyncrasies, right? And so there's you know, we just got to take you like it is sometimes, and that's the way it is. But what we need to do is always assume this disposition right here. God, this forgiving love of God, this forgiving love. Love forgives. It just does. I know it sounds more like I'm talking about forgiveness, but I'm really talking about love because love is what it is that forgives. When we love our brothers and sisters, right? Always assume that disposition. God's love is a pardoning love, and that should flow from us to others, particularly our brothers and sisters in Christ. Particularly, that's what he says. The Bible tells us that. And it's a necessary condition of the prayer of faith. It's a necessary thing. It just has to. And so I think maybe, and I think Jesus thought maybe that a lot of prayers were hindered because people were at odds with one another, their brothers and sisters. That's why he brought that up and he talked about it. So we got number one, a forgiving disposition. The second thing is our daily living. Now here it is, deal. Here's the deal. Our daily living is the test of our communication with God in prayer. That's the test. Our daily living. See, a lot of times when it comes to things like prayer time, going to church, or just certain things, we try to cultivate a certain frame of mind. Like, and I'll get to this in a minute, but I'll throw it in there. You know, we live a certain way all week, but then we're going to church. And, well, I don't want to fold my Bible up, but I'll pretend this is it. Hey, brother. How you doing, sister? Oh, praise God. I mean, God been good this week. Oh, man. I tell you, hey, sister, how's it going, man? Love you, man. Yeah. Oh, praise God. Amen. And then somebody calls on us to pray, and then we change our voice up about two octaves higher. And, oh, Heavenly Father, you know, just thank you so much, Lord, for saving me, and bless God, man. And we get this holy disposition, and we try to set this disposition on, or we get ready to pray, you know, and like I said, they change, and all of a sudden we either sound like an angel or we sound like God that we think God sounds like thunder down there, and we get this frame of mind. And we try to say things or sound or say things that we think will be pleasing to God. You know, the old time clock Christianity message I had, you know, where we clocked in to this frame of mind. And so we suddenly assume a attitude and a frame of mind on Sunday morning during church and Sunday school and maybe Sunday night. But see, here's the thing about life. Our life is not a whole bunch. It's not like a puzzle, like where we got all these little pieces to life. Well, now it's time to act churchy, and then now it's time to act spiritual, and then we go home, and then our home life is different, and then our work life is different than that, and all the other, our recreation time is different, and we got all these little pieces. No, listen, life is one flowing thing. It's just one thing, and we can't plug things in randomly. Life is a whole, and listen, the hour of prayer, and I'm using that word, the hour of prayer, as you know, it's a picture of our Christian time, whatever you want to call it, what we would do. That's only a small part of our daily life. It's only just a piece of it. And what we are in God's eyes is not based on what we conjure up at specific times and places, but the tone, the disposition, the temperament during the whole day, every week, every month, every year. That's our life. This is what's going to be pleasing in God's sight. What's our disposition all the time? Not something that we have brought up at a certain time, just whenever we get, I was talking to somebody about this the other day, Paul, you probably remember, I mean, this is probably before your time, but you might have saw the reruns, the old Porter Wagoner. How many of you remember old Porter Wagoner country singing, you know, Dolly Parton, Black and White, remember Black and White? And you couldn't see, and Dolly used to say, boy, I wish you could see Porter's suit in color, you know, and when we got to see color, we were going, wow, I see why she said that. But they always had this particular time on there. They'd say country music, all that, but then Porter Wagoner, he'd get up there right to the camera, and he'd be standing there. He goes, and now it's time for our sacred number. He'd step back, bow his head. Got the sacred time down. See, a lot of people do that with their life. You know, it's time to go to church, and now it's time for our sacred moment. Hey, brother. How's it going? And before you left the house, you done kicked the dog, threw the cat out, argued with the wife, you know, done everything under. But we assume it. Listening, but this is the disposition of our whole life, not just a moment and a time, and we don't conjure it up. And our relationship with God is part of our relationship with man. And if we fail in one, then we're going to have a failure in the other. And the effective prayer of faith comes from a life given up to the will and love of God. The will and love of God. That's effective prayer life. That's the prayer of faith. And our prayer is answered by God, not as a result of what we try to be when praying, but because of what we are when we are not praying. That's how we have an effective prayer. What we are when we're not praying. But the Bible tells us to be praying always. To pray always, but you know what I'm talking about, though, is your life, your daily life. That's it can't come and go, because if Christ is living in us, it's a real thing. If he's not, it's a fake. It's a fake. You're faking it. If your prayer life and your whole, I'm not saying you're living a perfect life at home like so few of us do. I'm saying that it's just, but our disposition, generally speaking, is a life of walking with God and in prayer, you know, that's how you get your prayer answered. And from that's going to flow what? You're walking with God. Well, the love of God's going to flow out. And the love of God's going to be, it's not going to be affecting your prayer life. And forgiveness is going to flow from the love that flows from God, because it's his disposition, not ours. And that's what it has to be. And the rest of the time you're trying to do it in your own strength, you're going to fail. And it might not be a real thing, right? Now, the third thing. Dependent on love. I already talked about that. And the third lesson is this. In life among human beings, the one thing which everything depends on is love. That's the way it is. And the spirit of forgiveness is the spirit of love. That's why, that's it. I mean, you can't, listen, the most overwhelming thing, I know this experientially, I know this. It's not always this way, but I know it for a fact. When you're filled and you read anybody that's had an experience like whoever the author is that I can't think of about the worm, the most overwhelming aspect of that is love. It's just like, I can't describe it. It's so much so, there was some of those men said, I couldn't take it anymore. That I threw my hands up and said, God, stop. Felt like my heart was gonna burst. Now, can you imagine? I can. Feeling that you're so full of the love of God that your heart can't take it. I mean, it is like you would just, oh, that's the most overwhelming thing. And you tell me that person is not a forgiving person. You'd forgive anybody of anything. Anybody of anything. It's just unbelievable. And that's the love of God. And it's only when we're dwelling in His love that we can forgive as God forgives. The spirit of forgiveness is the spirit of love because God is love and God forgives. And if it's God, if it's His life, if it's Christ's life, it's God in us. And then Jesus was telling them this, telling them and telling us. And in love for our brothers, we have evidence of love for the Father. That's the evidence. How do you know you saved? Love. 1 John 4:20. Hey, here's a good verse to memorize. We did the 100th Psalm. I did it myself. I gave y'all homework and I did it myself. And lo and behold, I have memorized the 100 Psalms. Only 5 verses. I got them down word for word. I memorize those things. Memorize. I sit out in the woods now. You know, you think I'm not being productive when I go hunting. Huh? I was, when that bear walked out on me, I was reciting the 100th Psalm. Make a joyful noise. And a joyful noise was, shh, shh. I said, that's not a deer. And where it's coming from, it's not a person. It's got to be a bear. But I was saying, make a joy. I memorize it. Here's a good verse for you to memorize. 1 John 4:20 and 21. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Huh? There it is. And listen, I'm telling you what. You don't even need a commandment. This is where Christ is greater than the law. That's a deep subject, but I can simplify it for you very quickly. This is where Christ is greater than the law. If we have Christ, we don't even need to know the law. Let's what? Guess what? You're going to love your brother. You can't help it. You can't help it. He wouldn't have to tell you. He doesn't have to tell you. It's just you're going to love and you're going to forgive. That's just the way it is. The love of God. Those would be good 2 verses for you right there. I'm almost done with the study on how to study the Bible. It was going to be done for sure next week. We got the candle deal and the power out and all, but I may try to wrap it up Tuesday night, and I'm going to study last things. But we'll do that, I think. I think that's what we're going to do. But this would be, I'm going to give you a homework thing. If you learn this one, that would be good. Neither faith nor work will profit if we don't have love. You got to have love. See, you know, you could say, let's look at it in a practical sense. We'd say, well, we need to go out and witness for Christ, don't we? We need to do that. But I'm going to tell you what, if you don't love them, it won't profit. If you don't love the people that you're trying to win to Christ, if you don't love Christ, you know, if you don't love, you got to love them, man. I mean, there's a possibility that you could say, well, I love God and be sincere and you want to honor God and glory God and glorify God. And you say, hey, I'm going to go out and be a witness, but you don't love the people you're witness to. Guess what? I don't think you're going to be very successful. Amen. You got to love them. You got to love them. And they got to, because I'll tell you, you know, there's, you can feel things, right? You can feel unforgiveness. You can feel unloved. You can tell, right? We can feel that. And people know when it's real. And if they know you love them, they'll let you tell them about anything. Even if they don't agree, they'll let you tell them about anything. Love proves the reality of our faith. No matter how sinful or unlovable a person may be, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus loved them, died for them. People do some wicked things. Jesus never called them names. He loved them. We have to love the same way. But here's the thing. I shouldn't say it that way. I wrote that down wrong. We have to love the same way. That's almost like this command, and now we got to say, oh boy, I got to go out and try to love. You can't do it. You can't do it. All you have to do is surrender. All you have to do is surrender to Christ. See, if you surrender, guess what? You're going to love. It'll be Him loving through you. Boy, when He loves through you, that's a powerful love. Huh? Our love is flawed. Our love is so dependent on tit for tat, you know, that kind of thing, and we can't help it. But if it's His love, see, so I shouldn't say we must love the same way. We can't love the same way. We just have to let Christ love them the same way through us. Huh? And you know what? There's going to be a lot of things that we would do. We will end up doing that the old flesh and the old nature simply doesn't want to do. But because of love, huh? We get down to it. I had to get my daddy. My dad, he got down there, you know, and we was taking care of him a lot. I cut his hair, man. Kind of got into being a barber and did it okay, and I didn't mind doing it. But I got down there and his toenails, man. One day I looked down, his old toenails, them thing looked like ram's horns. I said, "Good night, Dad." Well, Dad couldn't see good, and he got, I'm not kidding, man. Them things are curly. And Sherry, she gets all creepy about it. I try to get my daughter to do mine. I've shared that with you before. I try to get her to do it now. See, she don't love me. She's shaking her head no. But you know what? You know, no, listen, my flesh didn't really want to do it. Now, it wasn't the end of the world. I didn't think my hand was going to fall off or nothing. But I love my dad. And it needed doing. And I cut his nails and all. I got them all cut off there and everything. And I said, "Dad," and I got his shoes and socks on. I said, "How's that feel?" He goes, "He said, that feels pretty good." Huh? It made me feel pretty good, too, that his feet felt good. I didn't necessarily want to do that. There's other things I'd rather do than trim your toenails. But I'm going to tell you something. If your toenails need trimming, I got some of them blue rubber gloves. I'll do it. I'll fix it, you know. Huh? I can fix it up. But what I'm saying is, you know what? There's things that we want and our nature wouldn't want to do it. But if it's Christ, He got down and washed the disciples' feet, right? Didn't He get down and wash the disciples' feet? I bet if your nails need trimming, He fixed them up too. Whatever He had to do, that's what He said. Love, listen here, love is the root of forgiveness. And so it's also the root of believing prayer. You know, if we have this love, boy, look at that. I don't even think, you can't separate love and forgiveness, can you? I should have probably titled this Prayer and Love and Forgiveness, I should have put, because you can't take them apart. If you love, then you forgive. That's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. So we get ready to close in prayer, and I'm going to be ready. Paul, you can come up and if you want. And I said this Wednesday night, and I even said it today, I think when we get ready to pray about things, you know, we have to have an honest self-examination. And let me ask you this. Ask yourself, as we get ready to pray, ask yourself whether or not your prayers are the expression of lives completely given over to the will of God and the love of man. Is your life completely given over to the will of God and the love of man? Ask yourself that. Be honest about that as you go and pray. Boy, what a difference that would make. What a difference that would make in our churches and Christianity as a whole if that was the case. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word tonight. And help us, Lord. We know we can't love like You should. You do. I mean, we can't. And so we have to surrender to You, Lord, that You would love people through us. Lord, help us to be that surrendered to You, Lord, that You could love anybody through us. And help us to think about this and allow You to do it, Lord. And Lord, we'd be able to reach the world for You if that was the case. And so all our problems would be solved if we just surrender to You. And so that's my prayer tonight, Lord, that we would dwell on this, think about this, ask for it, Lord. Ask you. Here's the prayers that we need, Lord. This is the prayers that we need. We need to, on top of the intercessory prayers for sick and those that are grieving, Lord, we need to pray for ourselves, Lord, that we would surrender, be surrendered to you, and that you would take control of our life. We could, that you could love people through us, and we'd see people being saved, Lord, as you use us to witness to them. And so, help us, Lord, that our prayers won't be hindered, that we do these things, and that you'll help us and fill us and empower us and just take control. It all be done, and we'll thank you in advance for that. And thank you so much for loving us and forgiving us, Lord. And there wasn't a stipulation attached to that, Lord, other than faith, Lord, that we just look to you and confess and turn to you in repentance, Lord. And so thank you for that. Ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. God spoke to your heart, as always, altar open to pray. But you know, it is Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving week coming up, and be here before you know it. Boy, it's always, we should always be thankful, but boy, there's something to thank God for right there. His forgiveness, his love. Amen.